She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody, to Mrs. Green's World, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. I'm Gina Murphy, darling, and thanks so much for joining us. A brief shout-out to one of our favorite partners, the Chapman Automotive Group. They sponsor us. They help make Mrs. Green's World make the difference that we do. And we thank them for their support and for everything they do to make our community and, in turn, our planet stronger and more sustainable, and for the major contributions that are done every day by their community green team. They are indeed doing their share and showing they care in very meaningful and impactful ways, all for the greater good. Please check them out at chapmantucson.com. You, everybody, get ready for another great show. Sometimes I just sit in awe of the guests that we get, the caliber, their impact, their information, and this show is, I promise you, will not disappoint. The name of the show today is Honda Gets It, and indeed they do. Our guest for this next hour, is going to share with us some of the how and why we at Mrs. Green's World totally believe that Honda does get it, and why Honda's efforts are so important for us and for the planet. So please join me in welcoming Raminta Yatokas. She is the project manager for Honda's Environmental Business Development Office, and she is also responsible for implementing and managing the Green Dealer Program for all product lines, Honda Auto, Acura, Motorcycle, and Power Equipment. And I doubt that she sleeps much, but we don't have to go there. She is also Honda's North American representative for greenhouse gas accounting, reporting, and reduction strategy. Raminta, thank you for taking the time to be with us for this hour, and I'm not quite sure how there are enough hours in the day for you to do what you do.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm very excited to be here and to share the program.
And you have a lot to share. And I always like to start, like, you know, get to know thy guest a little bit, because you have a really big job, or many big jobs, and I always believe that in order to accomplish what you have and continue to do at Honda, it really takes someone with passion about the environmental issues. So you're the person driving these programs. What is your passion for a cleaner, healthier planet?
Well, my biggest driver and my passion is actually CO2 reduction, because if we don't do that,
right,
I'm not sure where we're going to
end
up.
Nothing else matters.
Nothing else matters. So
it's
everything
true.
I look at everything through a CO2 filter. Yep, exactly. So that really is my passion, and that's really basically why how the Green Dealer Program, Honda's Green Dealer Program, is focused.
And that
really
is
on CO2 reduction.
You know, I think of things in tweets, and when you say I look at everything through a CO2 lens, that's a very tweetable quote, and people will get that. So that's you, and it really matters. And what about Honda? What kind of things are you doing, and what is Honda's passion for developing technologies to solve what I believe, I agree with you, is our most pressing environmental challenge?
Well, Honda has for a long time been passionate on developing technologies to solve these type of issues. And way back when, 4 decades ago, they actually voluntarily agreed to reduce tailpipe emissions for all our vehicles. So Honda's commitment to the environment goes quite a ways back. And really our vision from that came from Blue Skies for Our Children, which is basically what the Honda engineers, that was their rallying cry to say, hey, we need to clean up the air. So this was at a time when air pollution was an issue. But since then, Honda has really also recognized not just the air pollution issue that has been, is in much better shape right now, but also the CO2 situation. So they are doing advanced technologies such as more fuel-efficient gas vehicles, hybrids, plug-in hybrids, and battery vehicles are a huge strategy for us, and will be even more so in the future. And also, this fall, we'll be releasing the Clarity hydrogen fuel cell to the market.
Which so. I really want to talk about, because that's as exciting as can be. And I went down the rabbit hole a little bit on that one to see all what that means to do that. But in terms of, I always like to talk about leadership and the Honda family. Does it come from the founders? It's got to start somewhere and their core values. Because if you started four decades ago, clearly you were early adapters and not people were not, I don't believe, talking about this four decades ago, but you were already in action and looking at ways to do it. Where does it come from? What's at the core of this?
Yes, it does definitely come from the founder and from the founders of Honda, because they cared about the environment and they recognized that they need to leave the earth a better place than they had it, and definitely not making it worse. So the environmental thing is infused in throughout all of everything that Honda does, and they're also setting CO2 emission goals. So right now we have a goal of 30% reduction of CO2 emissions for automobile products, but also for power equipment and motorcycle, compared to 2000 levels. And then the other one that Honda has pledged voluntarily is to reduce CO2 emissions by 50% by 2050, based on 2000 levels. And that is actually absolute 50% reduction, which means total. So the total reduction, as we sell more product, we really still need to keep the CO2 reduction goal in place.
And that is really a big number in a relatively short time frame.
Because it's a big number, right?
It's a big number, and you better stay healthy and stay on it, because that is a really big shift to occur. And can we back up a little bit? Is there actually a Blue Skies for Our Children program, or is that what you call the initiative?
Well, there is we have a Blue Skies for Our Children is really our overall program for anything that we do environmental. So
right.
We have a Blue
so
Skies
it's a
for
vision.
Our Children logo.
Yes.
Right, right.
Yes.
So it really falls under that umbrella, correct.
And I want to know about, when you talk about the massive shifts that you're going to do and change to get to the number of a 50% reduction in CO2 emissions by 2050, I can't believe we're even talking about 2050, and I like to always add, I will be 100, so I hope I'm here. I hope I'm here to hear the good news, because the air is healthy. But what is it? I mean, you don't need to go into the details, but doesn't this really require massive changes in the manufacturing, the processes, I mean, the redesigns? What are all the components you have to look at? Because you're kind of sitting at the top of the, you know, looking at all of these things that you're responsible for making sure happen.
Right.
What kinds of things does it take inside the company?
Well, it absolutely takes redoing the factories, because if you're building electric vehicles, it's a complete shift in how they have to do it. And some other things that we would be looking at is also renewable energy for factories. So if you're heading in that direction, what you need to do is see how you could electrify the factories in terms of just having them run on electricity as opposed to gas and electricity, and then see how you could completely reduce the electricity. But generally, products in use is really our biggest CO2 emission. So it's very, very important to work on the vehicles. And right now, we're in the process of setting our 2030 interim goals. So those conversations are happening right now on how do we retool the factories, how do we include renewable energy in all our factories, how do we reduce our own electricity usage, how do we reduce it in logistics. So yes, all those are happening right now.
And it's a very integrated approach. It's not just one thing. It's the one thing leads to another to look at the whole picture.
And right, so there's a lot of people working on this from the factory perspective, from the logistics perspective, and my role is really to coordinate amongst them. So we have meetings in Japan where all the regions come together, and then we discuss where we're at, and then they inform us the ideas everybody's having in terms of reducing, how can we reduce, and we talk amongst all of us.
Right, and keep talking and keep talking.
Keep talking.
And I'm not sure at what point to interject this, but I really want you to tell us a little bit about the clarity. That happens to be one of the favorite words on the Mrs. Green's World team. We're always working to make sure there's clarity. What a great name for a car, and it's very exciting. So share with us about the clarity.
Right, so the clarity is really going to be three different cars. So the clarity is the first one is a hydrogen fuel cell. And actually, one of the sponsorships that we do is for the Women in Green Forum, which is a forum here in Southern California that brings together women and men who are passionate about the environment. And we just had a ride and drive over there for the hydrogen fuel cell. And we got very good responses, and people were excited about it. And then after that, it'll be the Clarity, the battery electric vehicle in the spring of 2017, and then the Clarity plug-in hybrid, which we're very excited about. That'll be the fall of 2017. So it really is an overall line that we'll be introducing to the marketplace throughout the next year or so.
Hydrogen fuel cell to the market. I mean, that is really big news. And I'm sure a lot of my friends from the Chapman Going Green team will listen to this and will make a joke about there hopefully is a Clarity in Mrs. Green's future, because I drive Chapman.
We hope so.
Yes, and I do a lot of social media around it, and I'm sure they're very excited, and there'll be some events here to showcase this car. It's very exciting, and I'll bring it up at our Green Team meeting next week. So I can't wait to see that. And that, let's skip forward. You mentioned it a little bit about the integrated approach. You don't just look at emissions. So there are other things in terms of addressing a healthy environment and a smaller environmental footprint. What are some of the other things you look at when it comes to the overall plant and production?
Oh, of course, yes. We also look at, obviously, any type of hazardous waste or any type of discharge. We keep close track of that. And the other one is also water usage. So we're constantly taking a look at water usage and see how we could recycle water. And also waste is very important to see how we could reduce our impact to the landfill. So we really are doing a good job on that. We've gone to 95% reduction of waste sent to landfills in North America. And a lot of our plants are now zero waste to landfill, and also our part centers. So we've been working on that a lot.
That's
and then
huge.
The other thing,
I mean, that's knowing what I've done for the past 9 years. It's huge. What a big commitment.
Right, yes, it is. And we're also working with our suppliers to see how we could help them with both reducing their emissions and we help them with that, and we report on how they're doing, and we work with them. So not only is it really just Honda, it's really everything that Honda touches. It's Honda's footprint. So we're really working on reducing Honda's footprint across everywhere, which is why the dealers are involved too.
So it's what I call the ultimate ripple effect. I mean, the pebble in the pond is the desire to do it and the vision to have a more sustainable operation from, you know, the inside out. And how with the suppliers, I mean, is it causing them to have to redo things that they do and consider? I mean, this is what I love about the you take a stand, and then people who want to do business with Honda, they have to look at what they're doing too.
Right, and I actually think they're pretty willing to do that. Honda also puts on a supplier conference, and one of those, it's once or twice a year, but the one of the supplier conferences is actually focused on environmental. So they actually submit what projects they've done, and they get an award. There's a supplier that's picked as the best environmental award. So we work with them. We work more as a partnership as opposed to you must absolutely do this, but we work at them and to say, hey, let's reach this goal to reduce your environmental footprint also.
And what a great way to approach it.
It's a very Honda way to approach things.
I love that, the Honda way. And I love Blue Skies for Children. I mean, who could not get that? Because it's, you know, for me, it's why I'm doing all this, is because I have children and grandchildren, and I want to make sure they still have blue skies. And a lot of places in the world, they don't anymore because of emissions. And it's devastating. It really is.
Yes.
Share with me about the green factory and green purchasing initiatives. I mean, you have 650 from the notes that you gave me, 650 parts suppliers in North America. So what does it mean to have the green factory and green purchasing initiatives extend to them?
So when we have something in the green factory that's a good idea, or let's say we have a way to reduce energy, such as doing LED lighting or something like that, we share that information with the factories, and that's the type of information that's shared both in a newsletter, an email communication, and the conference, the environmental conference. I actually attended one of those conferences and presented on the Green Dealer programs and share the guide that we have so that they can use that in their own areas.
And that makes it easier for them. I mean, sometimes in this world of massive changes, it's kind of like, show me the way. Just help me. I really want to do the right thing. Make it easy for me.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Make it easy for me, because there's a lot.
And I remember the one who, the supplier who did receive the award, he basically said that he was also motivated by looking at his grandchildren, which I thought was great.
It does
because
matter.
He wanted to make sure he could leave them a better world.
Yeah.
So it was really nice.
I mean, it really does matter. I'm not sure how we're doing, but when I have shows like this, it gets me so excited and inspired that because of the ripple effect. It's not just what Honda's doing. It's the way that you go about building strong partnerships so that they make, you know, and I love the tagline, Honda, the power of dreams. I mean, it's a big dream,
yes.
And you guys are implementing lots of it to make it happen. What
yes.
did the like the, you have the Environmental Business Development Office. It did all of these massive undertakings that require lots of oversight and leadership and direction. Is that what led to the actual establishment of an office and an operation?
Yes, it was basically to focus all the environmental efforts in one area because they were throughout everywhere, or somebody would come up with some kind of, some idea and there was really no place for somebody to take an overall look and
right.
see, does this make sense for Honda? How do we need to do this? So then the department was established also as a business development. So basically what type of products should Honda be working on? What's the future? What are the ones with low CO2 impact? What can we do to enable a low carbon or no carbon lifestyle for Honda customers? So our department does things like I do the Green Dealer program and everything else you mentioned, but we also are working on a Honda Smart Home up in Northern California, which demonstrates that you can have a carbon-free lifestyle with the house and the car.
You are kidding me. A
yes,
Honda Smart Home? I need
right.
to have you back on the show for that. That is
that would,
awesome.
That would be my colleague for that. He's the one
oh
that
my
designed
gosh,
it.
That is so awesome.
So, yeah, it's in Davis, California, and it's great.
Of course it's in Davis. That's
yes.
awesome. There's
yes.
UC Davis there, and they're quite innovative and all that. Oh, that's amazing. I had no idea.
Yes.
What a very happy surprise. So have you
yes.
been at the helm for this Office of Business Development, Environmental
Business? I'm the one who's the Green Dealer program and
okay.
all the greenhouse gas accounting, and then my colleague does the Honda Smart Home. We're also working on various other technologies such as vehicle to grid and those type of technologies.
And it sounds to me, which is also very encouraging, that there's employee buy-in. When you said with people come up with ideas and innovations and thoughts of to do things differently. Is it your sense that the employees themselves at Honda are committed to a cleaner environment and lower CO2 emissions, or is it just a job? And I know that's a hard question.
Yeah, I think definitely. And I think we're also encouraging it. Another thing that's actually not on what you stated is the other thing I'm doing is I'm a co-lead for putting together a green conference for North America here at Honda. So we're going to have a conference where we bring everybody, where teams were able to submit what projects they've done, where they saved CO2 or reduced waste or saved water. And so we had applications come in, and then we picked a certain number of teams. We're in the process of picking the top 15 teams who will come to Torrance, to our campus here in California, and present. And the winning team will actually be sent to a conference in Japan. So this is every region doing this. So every region will be sending a team to a global green conference in Japan. And this is the first year that we're doing it, so it's very exciting.
And I just think you totally need an international podcaster to be covering some of this and come to that conference. And I see Japan in my future. Shameless plug. But it's like my passion is contagious as well. I'm a walking billboard for all of this. So I'll catch you on the flip side for that one. But it's so funny when I go to these things, and I do get invited to some of them. I'm certainly not meaning to put you on the spot, but I call it trolling for guests because that's how I get great guests. You know, Honda in Tucson got an award from the mayor's office for their environmental stewardship, and I went, and that's when I met the Honda America rep, and I mean, I was all over him. My friend Akram said, here he is, and Neb Yonis, and said, go get him, Gina, and I did, and he's the one that helped
right,
get me
right.
to you,
yes.
which is
yes.
in the big corporate, you know, morass of people, it's very hard to do that. So we're coming up on our first break, and I want to make sure that everybody knows how to find out more information about you. And it's very easy. If you go to honda.com, you have to put in CSR after the HTTP. And I want to note that because people do research and they do click on things when I talk about it in the podcast. And then you do / environment, and then /. And once you do that, which I did, and put Total Green Process, things come up. Everybody, stay here with me. What a great show. Time is flying. We'll be right back in a little bit with Raminta Itokas, the project manager for Honda's Environmental Business Development Office. We'll be right back. Stay here with me.
Join us for a new on-demand podcast every week at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the iHeartRadio or SoundCloud mobile apps. We are a proud member of the iHeartRadio, Glimmerglass, and Speak Up networks. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Stay in touch with information about healthy living, sustainability, contests, and events by signing up for our e-newsletter on our website. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. But right now, back to Mrs. Green.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. The name of our show today is Honda Gets It, and certainly they do. Joining us for this hour is Raminta Itokas. She is the project manager for Honda's Environmental Business Development Office. She is also responsible for implementing and managing the Green Dealer Program for all product lines, Honda Auto, Acura Motorcycle, and Power Equipment. She's also North American representative for Greenhouse Gas Accounting, Reporting, and Reduction Strategy. Lots of good stuff going on. And Raminta, thanks so much for being here.
Sure, it's my pleasure.
And I want to go back to one thing, because it was just, you know, I go through the questions and I'm really listening, and then I have a little break so the thought process can come forward. But when it comes to hydrogen fuel cell, it's something we've been talking about with people for a really long time. Where is the hydrogen going to come from, and how are people going to, you know, like refill? What's the distribution process for that?
So we're also working with, in California especially, with a company to install hydrogen fuel cells throughout the state.
Got it. So it's a new distribution
system. It's a consortium of companies. Yeah. Yes. So we're all working on it together to make sure that would be in there. The great thing about hydrogen is that you can refuel about in the same time as you would with gasoline. So we have a station here by Honda, and I went one time to refuel the car, and it's very, very similar to refueling as you would with gasoline. So it's fast, and it's in a regular station. The one we have here is actually a Shell station. So that's just something, the infrastructure, it'll be there eventually.
It has to be there.
With anything, right.
I mean,
right.
It has to be there. And there's
for Southern California, it's pretty good.
Yes.
You can. And the range is good on the cars. So. It's not, you can go 300 plus miles on a tank.
That's awesome.
So what California is doing is making sure that you could go in the whole state and that you would have refueling stations everywhere. So it's coming.
It's coming. And, you know, for everything I cover, and I cover, you know, soup to nuts. Somebody asked me the other day, did you ever have a show on green burials? And I said, indeed I did. So it's like, I do, cradle to cradle for all of it. And hydrogen, am I correct? And believe me, I don't even feel horrible if I'm incorrect, because I'm not an expert on these. You're the expert. Isn't hydrogen just like the quintessence of clean burning? I mean, there's no CO2 emission. It's water.
It's water, exactly.
So there's
correct.
Nothing dirty.
This
is like,
right.
I'm like, what? Fuel cell, hydrogen. It's so encouraging for someone like me that covers a lot of rather daunting topics and obstacles that need to be overcome. Okay, so let's shift to the Honda Green Dealer Program. What is it, and how did that all come about?
Okay, so Honda's Green Dealer Program, as I had mentioned, is really the focus of CO2 reduction. And what many people don't realize is that dealerships are independently owned businesses.
Right.
So we can't say, hey, you have to reduce your energy consumption. We really need to do it the way we do everything. We had to develop some type of carrot or some type of incentive for them to join the program and reduce their CO2. So what we did is we honed in on energy efficiency as a proxy for CO2 reduction.
Okay.
So the incentive for the dealer is to save money. So by reducing energy, they reduce their bills, their utility bills, and then reducing energy reduces CO2. So I like to think of this as it's a win-win for everyone. So it's a win for Honda, a win for the dealership, and of course a win for the environment.
And when you're talking about the energy costs, I mean, here in this state, all they're saying is it's going up, our electric bills are going to go up 30%. I mean, that for a dealership, and I think of the Honda dealership in Tucson, it's massive. So when you're talking about cost savings, it's a big budget item.
It's a big budget item, and it's just pure cash. It's something that's their overhead, and it's something that can be, there can be very simple solutions. So the other thing we really did is we did a lot of like low or no cost measures that dealerships can do to focus on that.
And
so we have
go ahead. But what I read in preparing for the show, I mean, it's a big deal. It's serious, and it includes a third-party energy audit, and it's giving them tools. It's assisting the dealers, from what I understand of the program.
Right. So my background is mechanical engineering.
Okay.
So I analyzed how to do that, and what we did is we found a team, and when we have them go in and. They are actually professional engineers, so they have a professional engineering credential. So it's a very, very high integrity audit, and there's a lot of it's very measurable. And at the end of that, they receive a report when they go and they do the assessment of the dealership with suggestions of what they need to do. For example, if it's changing out lights to LEDs, then they give them an example of how much it will cost, and then they would give them the ROI. So it's very clear on what they need to do.
Unbelievable. I mean, that's what people want in business. They want to know how it
is
going
to
impact my bottom line, and that's not a bad thing, especially when go ahead.
Right, and so the greatest thing, though, that what's happened as we do this, there's some really simple things dealerships can do. I was at a dealership where they had programmable thermostats, but they weren't set to – they were set – They weren't even set. So the dealership was closed on a Sunday, so they never even turned their heat or air conditioning off on a Sunday. So just by reprogramming it on site, they were able to save over 10%. So this is they didn't have to do anything additional. So it's pretty exciting when we can do those type of things. And that happens more often than you think it does, because the dealership's job is to sell cars, not really to be programming thermostats.
Exactly right. I hope Nebionis listens to this, because he does tease me a lot. He goes, at the end of the day, is how many cars did we sell? Because that's what their business is. So it's got to be. And if they're selling greener cars and having a energy efficient site, that's all the better. And when you talk about, you know, I know because of the comprehensiveness that you just described, when you're developing and designing a program like that, what do you do, and how long does it take to come up with what you decide an environmental leadership program is going to look like?
Well, the first thing you need to do is understand dealers and understand
which obviously you do.
Well, I love dealers. So, and dealerships, which is, they're a very unique environment, dealerships. Because if you think about it, there's a retail space, the showroom.
Right.
There are large parking lots like there would be in a shopping mall, so there's a lot of lighting. And then a lot of areas that people don't see, there's a lot of office area. There's offices in the dealership also. And then you have service shops, and service shops is almost a light industrial type. And customer lounges, you have car washes. Some of the dealerships have body shops, which use a lot of energy.
Right.
So it's really...
It's massive.
It's massive, and there was nothing really out there when we took a look at this that would encompass all of these type of spaces. And a lot of the programs that we surveyed, we didn't feel had enough of a focus on really truly reducing energy, because we checked the energy reduction by looking at their bills. So we get before and after, and then we can see exactly how much they reduced. So that's why we did our own program. Of course, other things are important too, such as recycling, water reduction,
right.
But our main focus of our program is energy reduction.
And it all comes together. So what do you do, present to them ways that they can make changes without, you know, like the cost versus the ROI analysis, that you don't want to break the bank, because car dealers don't want to do that either.
Right. So here we have three levels of award. It's silver, gold, and platinum. And it's really based on both a point system and energy reduction. But for simplicity, let's talk about energy reduction. So silver, it's a 10% For gold, it's a 30%, and for platinum, it's 50% and above reduction.
Wow.
So what we do is, if we get them in on the 10%, then our next goal is to really encourage them and work with them to get them to the to a gold level.
Right.
And then a platinum level. Now, with Chapman Honda, we worked with them from the beginning in, when they were through the design phase, and helped to say, hey, if you put in these type of heating and air conditioning systems, it'll reduce your energy usage, or if you put in this type of lighting. So that was a partnership working together with them to once for a new, you know, for a new building.
And what a showcase is. I mean, it's an absolutely beautiful building, I can tell you that. And they have, they're just doing a lot. They don't serve water bottles to their customers anymore.
Yay.
That was a, isn't that great?
Yeah,
I mean, that was
I
a huge step. And they have these really nice reusable bottles that say doing our share, showing we care, that some customers get. And then they have water stations all over the place with, you know, with paper cups. I still say that's way better than a plastic bottle
in terms of
impact. So it's like, you know, three cheers for them. They're really doing so many things in a very comprehensive way. I know there's a lot of dancing and celebration for that.
I have a dealership that had like mugs that were with the dealership's logo as reusable mugs. And then he was telling me that they kept disappearing because people took them home. And then he thought that was a great thing because then they're in the person's cabinet now.
That is great.
And they see and the name all the time.
Yes, it's branding. It's really good branding.
I
totally agree with you. And as long as they can do that, I love it all day long. Now, what about one of the things I also want to give high praise for, you have developed a very comprehensive green dealer guide. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And also that it's available to other commercial businesses. So share with us. That's another high five for Honda, the power of dreams.
Yes, I'm very excited about that. It's what it basically is. It's our whole entire program, but in there it has all kinds of if it's a higher level of points, that means that there's a bigger impact on energy reduction. So it's a comprehensive 93-page energy efficiency roadmap, and it's designed specifically for dealerships, but it can also be used for smaller commercial buildings because it's just general advice on how to do that. And we decided to release it to the public for a number of reasons. One is that, back to our initial CO2 focus, it will only help if everybody applies these particular guidelines to their dealership. And dealerships have a lot of different brands, not just Honda. So we wanted them to make sure that they felt comfortable just taking that guide and applying it to any other dealership that they had. So that's really our department is very much open source because, as I had mentioned, the Honda Smart Home, all the plans and all the information for the Honda Smart Home is also all open source and is on the website too.
That's amazing to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is just a real good feeling and good for the planet. So let me ask you this, and you may not know the answer, but you're an engineer, so you probably do. No putting you on the spot here. But when it comes to the building and the guidelines that you have, wouldn't it be guidelines that even if it wasn't a car dealership but any commercial building with a great amount of space that could look at it and not have to reinvent the wheel and get some guidelines for how they could reduce energy costs? It wouldn't be just for dealerships.
Right, absolutely, and that is why we released it. We just really wanted to put that information out there, and if it could help anybody, if you have big parking lots, if you have retail spaces, we just have a lot of ideas in there and what to do, and a lot of them are our low or no cost measures, which I think are really great too. But also we are in the process of updating the guide, so we plan to do this on about every 2-year basis as technologies change to put in new technology. It will be continually updating that, and I think any commercial building can take a look at that and use it. You could probably even apply some of those things to your own house.
And you know what I was thinking of? The first thing that came to my mind is schools. I just had the head of the Green Schools Initiative. The name of the show was The Green Know-It-All, but Rachel Gutter, her name is Gutter, and she thought that was pretty funny that she's at the United States Green Building Council. Her name is Gutter. But, you know, schools, auditoriums, you've used massive amounts of energy and sit dormant, and they have, you know, so many square feet under their roofs that I would think schools could use this to help reduce their their costs because schools are so hurting.
I think that that would be a very good use for it too. And I don't know if I've mentioned, but it's available at greendealer.honda.com.
Yes, we need to do that.
So anybody could download it.
Download the guide for free at greendealer.honda.com. Okay, and
look up a green dealer.
Yes, look up a green. I know exactly, and go find it. So, is there anything else like you did point out, and I want to reiterate it because sometimes things go so fast? But dealerships really do have a unique energy use challenge that are not like other commercial buildings. And I think of the property for the Chapman dealerships. I mean, they do have a huge parking lot. It's a whole block. They have service. They have repair and operation. I always make sure someone drives me through the car wash when I go over there because they have that. And it's water use, not just, you know, energy and electricity, but high water demands from car dealerships. So is that a part of all of the Green Dealer initiatives and information that they can, you know, or is it specifically for energy efficiency? That's my question.
So, yeah, installing low water fixtures, for example, but it's difficult to pull out the water fixtures
right.
that you already have.
Right.
So there's different things you can do to just reduce the flow of the water fixtures. And native vegetation is also something that we encourage, and it's native to whatever the region is. So in Arizona, it would, of course, be drought tolerant, or California.
Right.
But in other areas, it might be something else. So we encourage native vegetation. And also recycling. We have recycling as a requirement as part of the program. And also any type of waste reduction is also part of the program. And if you really want to take it a step further, adding solar panels really can increase or reduce energy usage. And we just recently added a program where we coordinate the request for proposals for dealerships. So we actually help them. We go out to bid, and then we consolidate all the bids and present it to the dealer so that they could choose whoever they would want to go to for the solar panel.
That's amazing.
We're doing it for LEDs, too.
That's really amazing because, solar would make such a difference, and there's so much space on which to put the solar panels because they're usually very big buildings.
They're big buildings, and there's usually not a lot of trees around that. And, it's great. And really, LEDs are very huge. I'm very big on LEDs. And
Me
when we
too.
Started this program, which was about 4 years ago, they were very expensive. And there were dealerships putting it in. And I think it was at that time it was about an 8-year return on investment. And now it could even be down with all the incentives down to about one year, between one and two years.
And that's
really
amazing.
Exciting.
In a really short time, those are the things that encourage me. And one of our other partners is the local power company, Tucson Electric Power, and they have such, they're reducing their output, their use of energy because of their energy efficiency programs. And LED lighting has a big part of that. What people don't understand, is that a incandescent bulb produces a lot of heat. So if you have, some people have and hundreds of light bulbs in their house. If you go around and count them, it's shocking how many light bulbs you have. So you know this. If you don't have them making heat, it's easier to cool the building. So
Right. And in dealership, really about 46% is of the energy uses for interior and exterior lighting. So it's a lot.
46%?
46% approximately.
Wow. That's really big. Right.
Yes. And the interesting thing about the interior lighting is it's even the exterior at night, it's very important that the car colors are correct. You don't want to sell a customer a car that looks completely different in the daytime if they bought it at night. So we worked a lot with all the different vendors to make sure that the colors look good. So the ones that we recommend, we just make sure that it would work in a dealership.
And as a consumer, I'm smiling because you walk in and think how great this all looks and never really paid attention to the fact that it's like putting on makeup. I have to draw that analogy. You want to make sure that when you buy something, when you walk outside, your face is an orange.
Right. You don't want to buy a blue car and it's green the next day, right?
Yes, exactly. So those are things that behind the scenes, what lies beneath to totally make it happen. So I cannot believe that number. That 46% of the average dealer energy use contributes to, is it can be attributed to the interior and exterior lighting?
It's both, yeah, it's both interior and exterior. But it really, it's both a showroom, the interior and exterior, because people shop outside, too.
Yes.
So it really, it's a very, it's important for dealerships to be lit up really well.
Very well lit up.
And then if you actually add something like where you where half the lights, let's say, turn off at night when they're not needed.
Big plus.
Okay,
hold that thought. We're going to take another break. We will be right back with lots more good information to share. Everybody stay here with me.
Mrs. Green's World's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and you're listening to Mrs. Green's World. Thanks for being with us. We love our podcast listeners and subscribers, spreading the good green word. Joining us for this hour is Raminta Yotokas. She is the project manager for Honda's Environmental Business Development Office, and she is responsible for a lot, implementing and managing the Green Dealer Program for all product lines, including Honda Auto, Acura, Motorcycle, and Power Equipment. And she is also Honda's North American representative for greenhouse gas accounting, reporting, and reduction strategy. And I have to say, she is also inspiring and passionate about all of this. And it's great to have you on the show, Raminta, and to feel your passion about all of these great initiatives and about Honda's the power of their dreams, because it's making the world a better place. And I just wanted to really reiterate, because people do follow up about the Green Dealer program, to go to greendealer.honda.com, and all of your social media sites are informative. On Facebook, it's really a tough one to remember. It's Honda. And Twitter, Honda. And then the I referenced earlier in the show, if you put in Honda and environmental total green process or Green Dealer program, the information that we're talking about comes up quite easily in the Google search, because you also...
And also, if you go to honda.com/environment, you can go directly.
It all
also
comes up. Okay.
Yes.
And we kind of rushed through the end a little bit of in the last segment, because I didn't give you enough time to say, okay, we've got to go to a quick break. So in terms of the... We were talking about 43% comes from heating and cooling, but 46% of the dealer's use is interior and exterior lighting. And I think of all business owners that have any kind of parking space would want to take note of this. You know, big buildings and big commercial property that's lighted, 46%, and what a change can be made with the proper lighting.
Right, right. And also because the LEDs are really getting a lot more reasonable, I think this is quite feasible.
And I think it would be great to go over one again. I think repeating is really a good thing, because I need to hear it. So the highest impact improvement areas that you've been able to see and measure, can you just go through those again?
Sure. So one of the very easiest things to do is just to optimize programmable thermostats.
Love it.
So if you really just, if the dealership is closed, or if we're not at home during the day, to not have it at full air conditioning or full heat. So that's really basically a no-cost measure.
Yes.
It's huge. We can get a 10% savings of dealerships if they don't have the thermostats programmed. And then I think the next really biggest hit is high energy efficiency lighting, which to me is LED at this point. And then if you really want to go, you can do motion sensors that turn lights on and off. You can do atomic clocks that will turn lights off we'll turn them on when it's dark and make sure that they're turned off so you don't have to fiddle with the time. There's ways to just reduce half lighting in a parking lot when the dealership is closed, but keep enough lights on for security.
Right.
So just installing the lights is a huge opportunity, I think, for anyone, really.
I agree.
Any business or any home, I think it is. And then if you go for water, it's just installing low-flow fixtures, and those can just be something that screws onto the faucet. So that's pretty easy to do.
And it doesn't impact pressure. I mean, I've seen some...
It doesn't impact pressure. Sometimes it's better.
Yes, I've seen some demonstrations. So people think, oh, you know, if I do that, I'm not going to get any pressure. And I know at the dealerships at Chapman, without a consciousness, you know, several years ago, when they were washing the cars, they kept the water on when they were, like, soaping it down. And because of our efforts to for them to be, you know, more sustainable, the car washers agreed they would turn it off, soap the cars down, and then put the water back on, which saves water and money.
Right, and then there's a lot of, they have recycled water, too. So they recycle the water that they're using, they take the soap out, and they do that again. So, there's a lot like that.
It's a whole package of looking at it. And I just want to emphasize that going green, as they say, doesn't always cost money. I always try to bring that up on the show. It saves money in many, many cases. The ROI is better for you forever. It's not a one-stop rebate.
It's the win-win-win, right?
Yes, it is. The green, the triple bottom line, which is certainly not ever to be overused. It's real. And I think business owners are becoming more and more aware of that. So tell us about, I know that you have a rock star, that there's a dealer, and let's give him a shout out. Hopefully they'll listen to the show, that electric grid neutral. Do tell.
Right. So we have one. Actually, we now have two dealerships.
Awesome.
So we have one dealership who's electric grid neutral, and what that basically means is that he produces on-site as much or more energy from renewable energy sources than the dealership consumes from the local utility over 1 year period. And it's that because he produces more in the summer, of course, and less in the wintertime. But when you take the electricity, it's basically he doesn't have an electricity bill.
Unbelievable.
He just produces everything. It's fantastic. So he was the first one, Rossi Honda in Vineland, New Jersey.
And I'm a Jersey girl, so I was given a high five to that. It's like, yes, and they need it.
Yes, he's very, very, very environmentally conscious and very, he feels that it's every dealership should be doing this. And so he was the nation's first to achieve this electric grid neutral status. And there's also a video, if you go to greendealer.honda.com, there's a video with him. It's really worth watching. It's a short
YouTube video?
Yes, and
that's
he talks
great.
About how he did that. Yes, because he has carports. He's actually integrated the LED lights into the carports, and he even uses, he has the lights off at night, and when he has, if there is a security issue, the light turns on, and he even feels that's more safer than having any lights on because it's obvious somebody's on the lot. So he's really integrated his whole system, and it's fantastic.
It's I love
year we have
it.
One,
I just love
we have
it.
One
Who's
more.
Number two?
Yes. Number two is Branfond Honda in Branfond Honda in Branford, Connecticut.
Okay.
And he just achieved that this year. We're very excited about that, too.
Those
of
back
course,
Easterners.
The back Easterners, yes. We need to get them on the West Coast.
Yeah, we do, especially California. You're supposed to be the leader in all things green and sustainable.
Right, right. So both of them have solar panels, obviously. This is how it's achievable to do that. But it's achievable, and I think that's the exciting part about it. It's actually achievable to do that.
I think it's unbelievable. It makes me really excited. So what about, like, what's next? Can you give us a, like, through the looking glass, what kind of things are you doing? What can we expect for your efforts, even in your other lines? Like, there's motorcycles and there's power equipment. What's going to be on Romenta's plate and your team for the, you know, for the next couple of years even?
Well, so motorcycle and power equipment, I'd like to talk a little bit about that. But that's we have some motorcycle dealers that are exclusive to Honda.
Right.
But a lot of motorcycle dealers, they also sell other lines. And it's the same is true with power equipment dealers. But we had made a decision that we're just going to help everyone back to the CO2 reduction philosophy that, you know, we all win if we can reduce CO2. So we help dealerships also that are not just exclusive to Honda lines. And I think that's exciting, too, because honestly, when we first looked into power equipment, we didn't really know if it would work or if we would have any type of impact. And we did. We have power equipment dealers that are actually changing out their lights to LEDs and getting awards, and motorcycle dealers that are excited about it. So we're excited about continuing to expand to those two dealerships.
And it's encouraging because it's really, again, I have to go back to that ripple effect. We need some big waves of change, as you know, with the level of CO2 emissions and what we see every day. So these are things that cause multiple impacts in many different industries, and it will trickle down even from there that we won't even be able to measure.
Right, and that's just really the goal, is to get it out as much as possible. So in terms of the future, a couple things that we're looking at is utilities are going to start restructuring or already have restructured their rates to have demand charges.
Right.
So we're going to start taking a look at how can we reduce dealerships' demand charges, and especially as electric vehicles come online and dealerships have charging stations. So we want to start taking a look at how can we make sure that the dealership's bill does not hit those high demand charges.
Yes.
We're doing some interesting things with that.
Time of use, and that's a big deal too. Yes.
It is, yes. Right, time of use. And especially with dealerships will be putting in charging stations. We'll be doing a rollout for that. So it's very important to take a look at that.
Okay.
And we're also going to maybe simplify even our guide and to see how we could streamline it, because we've learned some things and we've made notes, and we're in the process of taking a look at how we could simplify it even more to make it easier to use. If you download the guide and you put your information in there, as soon as we have a new version, you'll get an email to say, hey, there's a new guide for you to download.
I'd love to ask you, in the big picture and in your experience in the job that you have, what have been some of the biggest challenges or obstacles that you continually face or that you've had to overcome that you'd like to share with us? Is it resistance on the part of the dealers? Is it, you know, like in terms of infrastructure, what are some of the things that might give you some headaches at night that you and your team are trying to figure out how to overcome?
Well, I think initially what we were trying to figure out is how do we get dealerships to sign up? And of course, there's some more interested and some are not. Some are already environmentally aware and some are not. So it's always what we really, really want to do is sign up every dealership that's either remodeling or building a new dealership. So we're continuously working with the field staff to get that done, and it doesn't always happen. So we keep trying to figure out how we could do that, because if we could impact the dealership while it's being built, they never even have to spend money for these energy efficient.
Right.
So I feel that's really, really important. The other thing we're really working on is how can we get more dealerships to install solar? So that's why we started that program now, where we coordinate their requests for proposals.
It is such an important answer.
It really is, and it's quite cost effective, and it's, you know, the incentives, we don't know if they're going to go away or not, so we're really trying to work on that. And honestly, I thought that there would be more of an uptake on that, but now that we did this RFP, hopefully we'll start moving forward on that. So we're continuously tweaking if something doesn't work on how we could get more dealerships engaged.
So and you're talking about the RFP process. So did you, for the solar?
Yeah, for the solar and actually for LEDs, if dealerships would like us to coordinate estimates. So we basically put the request for proposal out there, and companies can bid, or if a dealership has somebody that they want included in there, we go ahead and do that. And it's, we found that among the solar providers, they don't know, of course, what everybody's bidding,
right,
but they know there's other people. We do a walkthrough with the dealer through the dealership, often at the same time with all the people doing the estimate. And they know the other companies are bidding. So what we have seen so far is that the estimates are really competitive. And then the dealership
Good
sees
job.
Them all. Yeah,
yes.
They sees them all there, and then can
yes.
you know, decide, is it more important to have this type of feature or that type of feature? You know, is it more important to have a power purchase agreement or purchase them? So I think this will be a very, very valuable service as we move forward.
I think so, too. And you can be sure that I'm going to be bringing up with you-know-who and you-know-where in Tucson.
Please do, yes.
I'll be just, you know, ringing that little bell and say, what's up with this? And I feel as though all of the initiatives there have been so well received. I'm very, very proud of that partnership.
I think we also want to mention that they're a platinum dealer, so that's our highest level.
Yes, I know.
And we really only have 10, I think, platinum dealers in Honda.
And that's so something that dealerships strive for, right? I mean, it's a badge of honor, I would assume, especially when you have national gatherings. Right.
Yeah, we have 14 Honda dealers and 3 Acura dealers, but we have, between Honda and Acura, around 1,300 dealers. So it's really a huge accomplishment for Chapman Honda.
It really is, and they have it proudly displayed in their showroom. And we're going to do, you know, anytime I can, have an event there, or bring in, you know, like our, we have a big active local first organization, and Honda Chapman just became a member, and we're going to have a big reception there for the local first people, so that we can showcase all of these things. And they're all business owners, so they'll be looking at that. And then what about I have to go back to the clarity because I'm obsessed with the whole thing of hydrogen fuel cells. It's, to me, perhaps one of the most exciting things to cover on my Mrs. Green's World podcast. But what will the cost be? Like, how do you charge for hydrogen fuel cell?
Well, it's right now when it will get released in the fall, it's going to be a lease. I personally don't know the exact price of that.
Okay.
But it's going to be leased to start.
So it's going to be a whole different thing. Yeah.
Right.
And in terms of infrastructure, I mean, you have your fingers in many pies and have lots of information from dealerships all around the country and around the world. What do you think is, you know, how do I want to phrase this question? Have you seen an increase in this, like the synapses connecting faster in the past 1 or 2 years? Because I can say from Mrs. Green's world, there are big waves of change that I see. And are you feeling that there's more of an awareness and excitement than, say, even 5 years ago about our commitment to the environment? People are getting how in trouble we are and trying to step up to change. Do you sense that, like an acceleration of interest or passion?
Absolutely. Yay! The difference, yes. And also just the engagement with the dealers. But I also think it's the younger generation that's pressuring.
Yes.
Because they just really, you know, there's no other way for them. That's really how they were raised. So I think that it's coming from all directions. I think that for a dealership to display an award like that, I think it matters to people. I think that they care. So I've absolutely seen more interest, and it's almost like you have to be environmentally sensitive.
Yes. And we have to see lots of tipping points, not just one tipping point. We have to see lots of tipping points.
If people
are building new buildings and are not thinking about the environment, they're not thinking.
Especially in the very beginning.
Yes. Wake up and incorporate it and face that. And I can't wait to take a tour of the Honda house. I'm going to lovingly call it the Honda house.
If I come Honda Smart Home.
Honda Smart Home. If I am anywhere near there, I will be contacting somebody so we can do some Facebook Live.
You can contact me, yes.
I will. I would love to do that. And let's just go through, if there's anything else you want to say, we have about a minute left. If there's anything you think we forgot to cover, it's been just a great interview, and what a wonderful guest you've been. It's been an enjoyable hour for me.
Oh, thank you. I've had a lot of fun. Maybe we should repeat just the websites in case people
didn't hear. Yes, I think that's a really good idea because people like to go and dig deeper to see if everything we're saying is true.
Right. So Honda.com/environment, that will get you to the Green Dealer. It will also, you can find on the Smart Home over there and everything else that Honda's doing, even with our factories and our buildings. And then specifically for Green Dealer is greendealer.honda.com, and it lists all the dealers. But also, if you go to the consumer sites for Honda and for Acura, you actually could find a Green Dealer that way, too.
It's wonderful.
So I encourage all your guests to go to the Green Dealers to purchase cars.
That's the biggest shout-out for me. It's like, do your homework. Look what green car and driver, who's rated as some of the top cars. Thank you, Raminta. This was a great show. I hope you'll spread the podcast widely. And we have some great shows coming up next week. Always, September 27th, a show about Tucson Water, a very successful series locally. And Barbara Mowat, the Grow Your Biz founder, helping women to grow their businesses. Make it a great green day, everybody.